We're holding on to page Chof Hei in Megillah, about six or seven lines from the top by Sapper Lahem Haman. In terms of Osius, it's the middle of the very long Oschal Dalin. We're up to in the Megillah by Sapper Lahem Haman. So what happens is after Haman has come out from Esther's first party, Sameach Tov Lev, then he sees Mordechai and he gets upset. So he goes home and tells everybody as Kvod Osher B'Roy Bonner. About the glory of his wealth and the many children that he had. So, Vakama Roiv Bonim, what's this many children that he had? What's Marsha points out, you know, we have obviously it says 10 in the Megillah, but you can't say that can be called Roiv Bonim. You find people in Tanakh who had a lot more children than that. So, that wouldn't justify the name Roiv. So, the implication is he had a lot more children, and those 10 are unique because those are the ones who got killed and then hanged together with Haman. So, Rav Chista Amar Shloshim. Rav Chista says there were 30 of them. Yud Meis, there were 10 of them died, were killed, and we mentioned them in the Megillah. Or rather, 10 died of other causes. The Yud Nitlu, 10 of them were hanged, as in the Megillah. The Yud Shemachazrim Al Psachim, and 10 of them were reduced to being beggars and had to go begging from door to door. Why is that? So Mar Shor says the way we figure it is like this. Given that we have in Sefer Shoftim, we have for example examples of people who had 30 or even 40 children. We know that the pasuk tells us explicitly what happened with 10 of them. So therefore we can assume that there were the same number that different other things happened to them. That 10 an equal number died of other causes and an equal number were left to go in bed. So 30 altogether. Rabbanan Amri Osim Shemachazon Apsachim Ayin Help for you. The Chachamim say we agree about the first two groups, but the ones who were ended up begging, there were actually not 10 of them, but rather 7. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Chana's Tefillah, she says, Sveim Balechem Miskoru. Those who were satisfied, who had lots of food, are now having to hire themselves out for work just to get a piece of bread. Rashi points out that actually Targum on that Pasuk, Targum Yonasan on that Pasuk, in fact, explains that this is Chana talking about Minavua, just this, that eventually Haman, who his children up until then are living off the fat of the land, now they're reduced, now everything turns around in a moment, and they're going around and begging. But the Gemara is darshaning, I'll take me Sveim el Shivim. Don't read Sveim, that's satisfied, but Shivim, that there were 70 of them. Why is that? Marsha says, because you have to consider, after all, why would it Bechlal describe in the Pasuk as Sveim? They're not full now. So it should say something like the people who were full. Sveim suggests that right now they're full, but then why are they Balechem Niskaru? So therefore, that leads the Gemara to Daush, and that the word is really Shivim, that it means there were 70 of them. V'Romi Bachoma, or Abba Amakulam Masayim Ushmoina, are you? Rami Ba'aba says, actually, altogether, Haman had 208 children. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'roiv Bono. He's saying about the multitude of his children. V'roiv, V'gematria, Hochi Havi. The word V'roiv is Gematria 208. But the Gemara asks, V'roiv, V'gematria, Mosin Ra'abes Havi. On the face of it, it's Vav Resh, Vav Bez, which adds up to 214. Amar Rav Nachman, no, V'rav Ksiv, because it's written in the Megillah without the second Vav, so therefore you have Vav Resh Vez, which equals 208. Now, what's the significance of that? Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, points out in some places in his writings a couple of very interesting things in this regard. First of all, the Zohar says that Vav is Ois Emes, that Vav is the letter of truth. Why that is a whole other matter, and it's beyond the scope of what we're talking about now, but that's how it is, the Zohar says. So therefore, the word over here is Davka, written without the Vav to represent. Haman doesn't have that letter of truth because he's a liar. But aside from that, Rav Levik also points out that 208 is also gematria of Yitzchak. So Avraham had a son, Yitzchak, who's gematria 208. Haman, who is the anti-Avraham, he's the umaseh of Avraham. Therefore, according to this Mandar Amar, he has 208 children. Pasuk says, "Balaylo ahu nodded ashnas amelach." On that night, king's sleep was disturbed. Which king do we mean? The sleep of the king of the world, of Hashem, was disturbed. Now, of course, Hashem doesn't sleep, but nevertheless, there are times when Hashem acts in a way that he acts as though he's sleeping. And we have Psukim, for example, by Yurashi Buddhism, by Yikatz Kiyoshan Hashem, In the Bar Mitzvah Maimur, we mentions over there that sometimes Hashem runs the world in a kind of sleep mode, kavyachol, where all that's left is a trace of the chayus of the world, kista de chayus, as the Zohar calls it. So here you have, up until that point, Hashem was acting in that way. Now, so to speak, Hashem awakes and is going to actually start making things happen and bring about the geula in an open, revealed way. Why does the Gemara darshin it b'chlal? Marsha points out, any place else in Tanakh where it mentions that somebody couldn't sleep, it mentions why. Here it doesn't, just not d'ashnas ha-melech without giving a reason. Therefore, the Gemara brings the different manda omers of whose sleep it was that was disturbed. And Ion Yaakov points out a different point. He points out that nodda is kind of a loshen rabbin, because after all, it could have said nod shnas ha-melech, or nodda, whatever. Nodda suggests that there were different sleeps that were disturbed. So Rabban and Amri nodded or yonim tachtonim. Everybody up in Shemayim and everybody down on earth is awake. So Rashi brings from the Medrash that the Malachim are nudging Achashverosh. Achashverosh is trying to fall asleep, and Malachim are coming and nudging him. You ingrate, you ungrateful person, get up and pay back and give the proper reward to the person who did good for you, which is Mordechai. So the Malachim weren't sleeping, and down here on earth, nobody was sleeping either. The Jewish people weren't, because they were busy fasting and davening. Haman and company weren't, because they were busy making the gallows. So nobody was asleep, except for Achashverosh, who was trying to sleep, and the Malachim are going and bothering him. Omer Rava, nodded Ashnas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamash. It means the actual sleep of Achashverosh himself. He personally couldn't fall asleep. He started thinking about what's going on. Omar, my dekamon, what's going on? What's this strange thing that's happening? Does Amante Esther lahomon bahadoi, that Esther invited Haman to the party together with me, first that we had already the one party today, and Vagam Lamochar on Ikoru Loim Amelach, what's going on over here? So we had all the reasons that we learned yesterday that Esther was doing that. Achashverosh, of course, didn't know any of them. So he's getting concerned over here. Duma Eitza Kashakli Aleja Hu Gavrila Mikdalei. Are they maybe plotting together to kill that man, meaning me? Hodur Amar, then Achashverosh further thinks to himself, Ihochi Hava, if that were the case, if they are plotting against me, Loi Hava Inishter, Rochim Liva Hava Moidali, wouldn't there be anybody who likes me and would inform me of what's going on? Hodur Amar, then Achashverosh thinks further, maybe there's somebody who did me a favor and I never paid him back. So now people are thinking, yeah, okay, Achashverosh is a decent fellow, but why should we bother doing him any good when other people have done him good before and he never got any reward? Mishumahochi, they're just thinking to himself, that might be. Because of that, Mimani Inshi Valimagaluli. Therefore, people are holding back and not bothering to tell me about plots on my life. So this is why he had brought the Sefer HaZichronos. We usually learn that he had the Sefer HaZichronos brought because it's boring and it'll help him fall asleep. But now we're saying, Rava is saying that actually he Taka wanted to find out what's going on and then get people to be on his side after all. Well, the Pasuk says, Vayu Nikroim, and they were being read. Now that's not the usual expression, it's to say Vayikru or something like that. Vayu Kurin. So Malamachin Nikroim Me'ilei. Means they were being read on their own, because what happened was, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, Shimshai, who was another son of Haman, was the scribe, and he didn't want to read about what Mordechai did on behalf of Achashverosh, so he was trying to kind of skip over that part, or even erase it, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. So therefore, it was being read on its own, like a voice was coming and it was being heard despite Shimshai's attempts. Similarly, when it says Vayimotze Chosu, that says it was found written, again, Ksav Miboyle. What do you mean it was written, which suggests as though it was just written now? Vayimotze Kosav or Ksav or whatever. There was found a writing in there from years early. It means that Shimshai, who is one of Haman's sons, and Rashi brings based on Psukim and Ezra, he was the royal scribe already from the times of Kodesh some years earlier. We find in Sefer Ezra, when Kodesh gave permission to build the second Beis Mikdash, and they started doing it, so the Pasuk describes how Shimshai and his various hangers-on over there wrote a letter to Kodesh warning that the Jewish people are going to rebel, etc., and Shimshai was then one of the ringleaders of it. So now, years later, he's still the royal scribe, and he's the one who's reading the chronicles to Achashverosh, but he's, as he sees this, wait, what's this business with Mordechai doing in the whatever. He was trying to erase it. The Gavriel Kosev, and meanwhile, Gavriel was rewriting it. In fact, Rav Shila from Kfar Tamarta gave a drosha about that. So then you can learn a Kal V'Chomer from that. Madach, something written down here on earth, which is beneficial to the Jewish people, can't be erased, because if they try to erase it, then we said Gavriel will rewrite it. How much more so when we have something that's written Lamaila in favor of the Jewish people? And Marsha points out, because Gavriel is right there, Lamaila. So here, Gavriel had to come here to earth to rewrite what's in the Chronicles over there. But when you have something written in Shemayim, then he's already there to be able to rewrite to prevent it from even getting erased in the first place. There is, by the way, an interesting vote in this connection, speaking of the fact that Shimshai was the scribe over there. There's a vote, I think it's from the Vilna Gaon, I don't remember. When we have in Perek Beis, the original story, it calls them Big Son Voserish. Now in Perek Vav, it calls them Big Son Nov Serish. Where'd that extra Aleph come from? So there's a vote, and I think I remember it's from the Vilna Gaon, but I don't remember, who says like this. Shimshai, when he wrote it, he's at least, okay, he can't completely suppress it, but he's trying to at least minimize what Mordechai did. So he writes, Big Son Oy Seresh, Big Son Or Teresh, meaning, in other words, what kind of a guy is this? One of them maybe is guilty, but certainly not both of them. He caused an innocent person to be killed. Now when it's being read to Achashverosh some years later, so Gavriel in rain moved the Aleph to the word big, to go together with the word big son, and the vav to go with Vaseresh. Now it says big son of Vaseresh, making it clear that yes, both of them were guilty. Not like he's trying to claim. Plus it continues. Vayomer Amalach Manasseh Yikorub Zul of a Gomer. So Achashverosh asks, what kind of honor and greatness has been done to Mordechai for this? And then the pasuk says that the Nari Amalach Meshosav, his servants answered, Lo Nasseh Imay Dover. Nothing's been done for him. So Tana or Omar Rava, Loi Mipnesha Oyav Mis Mordechai. They're not saying that because they like Mordechai and they want to see good done for him. Elam Mipnesha Soinim as Haman, but rather because they hated Haman. So in other words, the point is, in other words, now, so they want to see that at least Haman shouldn't get something good out of it. But Marashar explains, in other words, since the king is asking Ma Nasa Yikor Ugdula, then they should have answered Lo Nasa Ima Yikor Ugdula. What's this Lo Nasa Ima Dava? So it means Marashar is saying, you don't have to give him Yikor Ugdula. Do a Dava for him. Do something for him. At least that'll be enough to provoke Haman and make him upset that Mordechai is getting any kind of Dava. To give him Yikor Ugdula, that you don't need to do, because they didn't care much for Mordechai either that he should get any Yikor Ugdula. Ion Yaakov points out a different angle on it. The word Nasa can be past tense, but it can also mean future tense. What shall we do with him? And they're answering Lo Nasa Imay Dover. They're answering that we don't need to do anything. So we don't really need to do anything for him. So they're not doing it out of a love for Mordechai. They're doing it out of a hatred for Haman. So Ion Yaakov, by the way, points out an interesting thing in this regard, that when Achshverosh calls in Haman and also asks Ma Lasis Leisha Shem Melech Chofetz Bikorei, he doesn't mention the word Bidula. And that's part of what Ion Yaakov said. That's what misled Haman to think, who else would the king be talking about than me? Because if Achashverosh had told him Yikor Gdula, he would realize, wait, there can't be any possible greater Gdula for me. I'm already the prime minister. But like this, when Achashverosh only said, so he's thinking to himself, listen, the king can always give me more honor than I have now. So, and that's what made him think that he's talking about him. So the pasuk says that Haman then had come to ask Achashverosh for permission to hang Mordechai on the gallows Asher Heichin Loi that had prepared for him. Tana. So we learn in a braisa when it says the word Loi. Now it didn't need to say the word Loi. Loi Heichin. It means that he prepared it for himself. Means that all along Min HaShemayim, it was determined that this gallows was never meant for Mordechai in the first place. It was always meant for Haman. So the king's young men said to him, Hine Haman Begamer, Vayavai Haman Begamer, and Achashverosh tells him after he asks him, what should we do? Malas is the Isha Shamal Chavt Bikore, and Haman thinks that it's him, etc. So Achashverosh tells him, Va'ase Chen Mordechai. Now you have in that posik, you have in that half of the posik, you have quite a few seemingly extra words. Achashverosh tells him, take the Do this for Mordechai the Jew who's sitting by the king's gate. Don't leave out even one thing of what you said. Now it seems very repetitious. We know who Mordechai is, we know where he's sitting, so he should just say and have done with it. So it means when Achashverosh tells him, so Haman tried to play dumb. Amalei Manu Mordechai. Which Mordechai? Amalei, so Achashverosh tells him Mordechai Ayudi. Amalei, Achashverosh still tries to play dumb. Tu reyka Mordechai b'yodai. There are lots of Mordechais among the Jews. Amalei Hayoshev b'shar ha-melech. Amalei, so Haman still desperately is trying to get out of it. Amalei says, "How who sagi b'chodid scouter? For him, you don't need to do this whole public honor. Give him one village that he'll own it and collect taxes from it and whatnot, and have the people work for him. Inami b'chodid nara, or give him one river where he can collect tolls from the boats." Amalei, so the Achashverosh answers him back with the words of the pasuk, "Al tapel dovim mikol asher dibarta." Don't leave out anything of what you said. Yes, gamar v'havlei. Yes, do both. You said that there should be the horse and the crown and the royal robes and all that. Do that, and you're saying now that you think it would also be good to give him a lesser reward of a village or a river. Good, give him that as well. Let him have all. So vayikach Haman asalav. We have, by the way, the Gemara doesn't mention it over here, but you have the Medrash mentions that he had mentioned Vashem Nitan Kesu Malchus Beroshay, and Achashverosh started looking at him very angrily, like it looks like you want to put the crown on your head. And therefore, when he did the actual thing, and when Achashverosh gives him the instructions, when he does it, it doesn't mention the Kesser, it doesn't mention Kesu Malchus Beroshay. There are, by the way, interestingly, there are Mephoshim on the Pasuk who says Vashem Nitan Kesem Malchus Beroshay doesn't mean Achshverosh or Haman or Mordechai themselves. It means the horse. Some of the Mephoshim say there was a custom that on the day of the king's coronation, the horse that he rode on, they would actually have put a crown on the horse's head. So according to that, Haman means that you should use the horse that was used by your coronation, Achshverosh, Vashem Nitan Kesem Malchus Beroshay, where back then they put a crown on the horse's head. So he's telling him to take that horse. So according to that, he's telling him to use that horse, right? Everybody agrees. That's the thing. Everybody agrees that he's telling him to use the same horse. He's saying that Yovil the Susa Sherochav Olav HaMelech, the horse that the king rode on. When it says Vashem Nitan Kesem Malchus Beroshay, so one way of understanding it is that Haman is saying that also this person should have the crown placed on his head. And then when Achashverosh starts looking at him angrily, then Haman leaves out the crown. He realizes he's went a little too far. But I'm saying, there are Mephoshim who explain that rather Vashem Nitan Kesem Malchus Beroshay is going on the horse. That Haman is saying we should take the horse that you, Achashverosh, rode on the day of your coronation, when they put, as part of the celebration, a crown on the horse's head. And now we should take that very same horse that was used for your coronation, and we should use it to make this person ride on it. Getting back to the Gemara, vayikach Haman asalavush ve'esasus, ozo va'ashkech rabbonim v'yasvi kami Mordechai. So he came, and he found the Chachamim sitting, his Talmidim, actually, Rashi says, Talmidim, were sitting in front of Mordechai, v'kom machavi v'hu hos k'mitza l'rabbonim. He was showing them the halachas of k'mitza. We had in this week's parasha, we have the Korban Mincha. But Rashi explains it was min yon d'yom. This was on the 16th of Nisan, because we know that's the day that Haman was hanged, and that happened later that day. So on Tes Zayin Nissan, we bring the Korban HaOmer, and you take a Kometz from it. So therefore, he was teaching them the Halachas of Kmitza. The Medrash, by the way, has it a little bit differently, that he was teaching 22,000 children who had gathered from all over Shushan, and they see Haman coming, and Mordechai tells them, you should run away, you're going to be in danger. And they said, no, we're going to stay here on Mesiras Nefesh, we're not abandoning you, our Rebbe. Anyway. Actually, the Gemara has that right here. Actually, kiven dechazia Mordechai de apikul kivle v'susay mechad biyode. So Mordechai sees the apikul kivle that Haman is coming towards him v'susay mechad biyode, and he's holding the reins of the horse in his hand. He obviously didn't know what Haman is coming for, so he thought that Haman is coming to attack him. Mirtas, he was afraid. So he says to the Talmidim, "Hai Rashiel Mikl Nafshi Kasi. This Russia is evidently coming to kill me. Zilu Mikame, go away from him. You guys go and scatter. So you don't get burnt by my coal." In other words, like this, you shouldn't be collateral damage. He's mainly out to get me. I don't want you guys to get in the crossfire. And the Medrash adds the detail that they said that no, we're staying with you no matter what. He thought that Haman's coming to hurt him. So Mordechai stood up and wrapped himself in his talus and stood up to daven. Also Haman, the Yosef like Kamayu, Haman came and was sitting in front of them, the Urich, and waiting ad the solik Mordechai Litzloisa until Mordechai finished his davening, because already now Haman realized he has to have a shtickel derech eretz for Mordechai. So he asked him, "What have you just been learning?" When the Beis Mikdash was standing, remember that this is during Golus Bavel still, Rachmona Omar, Hashem said, "Mande menadav mincha, anybody who wants to voluntarily bring a korban mincha, he should take a handful of the flour from the mincha, the lichter agavid madbucha, and that handful will be burnt on the mizbeach, the likapur le, and that will be the kapara for the person." Now, Marsha points out, by the way, if they were learning primarily about the Omer, about the Korban Omer, because it was Tes Zayin Nissen, then why is Mordechai telling them about Minchas Nedava? The Omer, after all, is not brought as a Nedava. So Marsha explains he wanted to stress to him the greatness of even an individual person's Korban. A Mincha is the poorest Korban that a person can bring. We have in this week's parasha, you have a rich person brings an animal, a poor person, like a Korban Olubiyot, a poor person brings birds, the poorest of all, Dali Dalos, brings a Korban Mincha. So he's stressing that even by that, even Hashem appreciates that so much. And now we don't have the Beis Mikdash, and still we can learn it, and it's considered as though we did it. And even that, the smallest kind of Korban, Hashem appreciates so much. Omalei, so Haman says in frustration, "Lacy, you're awesome. Maloy kumtsa de kimcha didchu. Look at that. You're one handful of flour. The lidchi or vidochi yud alfi kikri kasper dahu gavra. And it's overriding the 10,000 kicker of silver that I wanted to offer Achashverosh. Here I offered Achashverosh 10,000 kicker in order for the right to destroy the Jewish people. And now you're one handful of flour from your Korban Mincha, and that you're learning the halachas about it, apparently is overriding that, because now I see that I have to honor you." Here Tosfos makes the calculation how exactly. We talked about we learned about a few days ago, because the machzah shekel of the Jews in the Midbar sums up to that. One way of calculating is the machzah shekels sum to that amount. Another way of looking at it is that the erech of a person sums to that amount. If you say it's machzah shekel, then the Bach says we're not talking about not just that one year, but throughout the years of a person's average lifespan. So the point is, it comes out to 10,000 kicker of silver altogether. And Haman is saying that now your one handful of flour from your Korban Mincha that you're learning about seems to be overriding mine. Anaf Yosef, by the way, points out a very interesting point. We've learned before that the story of Purim happened during the 18 years when the building of the second Beis Mikdash was suspended. Now, the Psukim and Ezra tell us they did build the Mizbeach first, and they started bringing Korbanos on it even before the Heichal was built, because that's the halacha, makriven af pi shein bayis. And the Pashtus, all the years since then, they've still been bringing Korbanos. So what is Mordechai saying? When the Beis Mikdash was standing, we would bring the Korban. Aren't they doing that every year now? He says, because he didn't want Haman to know about that. If Haman knows about it, he doesn't know yet that Haman's soon going to have his downfall. After all, Haman might well go and tell Achashverosh, you know, you have to stop them from doing that as well. So therefore, he wanted to pretend as though right now everything has been stopped and there's no avodah at all. Omalei, so Mordechai says to Haman, "You're saying your 10,000 kicker of silver? What yours? Russia. Avda de kona nechassim, when an eved buys nechassim, avda de man nechassim de man. Who does the eved belong to and who does the property belong to? You're my eved," as we learned before, the story where Mordechai sold, where Haman sold himself as a slave to Mordechai during the battle over there when he ran out of food. So what are you saying? My 10,000 kicker, it's not yours in the first place. Omale. So Haman tells Mordechai, "Okay, kum levoish hani money. Okay, come put on these royal robes, the rochiv haisus, and ride on this horse. The king wants that you should do this." Mordechai says, Lo yachilna, ada zilna lebe bani. I can't do that yet. I have to go to the bathhouse. After all, he had been in sack the Afer for a couple of days. It wouldn't be respectful to wear royal robes into the state. The eshka lemizoi, and I have to get a haircut. Delav oirach aralish to moshe b'moni d'malchusa. It wouldn't be proper to be wearing the king's clothes without a haircut and without a bath. A couple of them, Mephoshim, by the way, deal with the problem over here that this was Tess Zion Nissen. First of all, usually Tess Zion Nissen is the second day Yom Tov. You certainly can't take a haircut on that day. So Anaf Yosef mentioned. And then Haman told him, look, I have no choice. I have to put you on the horse and I have to, yeah. So one point is that since the whole concept of the second day Yom Tov is Sveika D'Yoma, Mordechai and the Sanhedrin were there. They don't have Sveika D'Yoma, therefore they don't have to keep a second day. What about the fact that it was Chol HaMoed? One answer is given. You have in Masechta Moed Katan, you have a din. It was just today or yesterday in Gimel Parakim of Rambam that if a person was not able to take a haircut before Chol HaMoed because he was in Avelus, for example, then he's allowed to on Chol HaMoed. So here, Mordechai had been in Avelus for the couple of days before Pesach, and therefore, yeah. Okay. Ad hochi v'hochi, while all this was going on, Shadra Esther sent messengers, v'asartinu l'kulu be'boni u'l'kulu umni. She ordered all of the bathhouses, or all of the bathhouse attendants, asartinu, it actually says, sivsalei machbiyam. She ordered them to hide themselves, all the bathhouse attendants and all the barbers. So all of them should make themselves unavailable. Why would she do that? Obviously, she wanted to do it in order, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, to force that Haman himself is going to have to do this. But there is also, I mean, you could say Baal Batish, that she wanted everybody should be there for the procession when Mordechai is being honored. But with that said, Anaf Yosef actually brings that it actually means she used a Shem Kodesh. She used the name of the Eivishter to cause them to freeze in place. So they physically couldn't do anything. So Haman had no choice. He himself had to bring Mordechai into the bathhouse and give him a bath. But also, I see Zuber, Zuzan, and then he went and brought a pair of scissors from his house because Shokul Mazi, and he's cutting Mordechai's hair. Why didn't he delegate it? Why didn't Haman say, okay, I'll delegate it to one of my servants? Eitz Yosef brings that Mordechai said no. He said, I'm afraid one of your servants might go and harm me. You yourself, you being the Mishnah Lamelach, you know you're going to be in deep trouble if you try to touch me. So therefore, you I can trust. As much as you're in Russia, you I can trust that you're not going to risk your position in order to harm me. But your servants, I can't trust with that kind of thing.
So they both did not know what's going to happen.
They both didn't know what's going to happen yet, but they knew right now that Mordechai is going to be honored riding around in this procession. Bahadi de Koshokulei. As Mordechai was cutting Haman's hair, I mean, the other way around, Haman was cutting Mordechai's hair. I guess I'm starting early on Abul Yoda. As he was cutting his hair, in Gidva Atnach, Haman was krechting and sighing. So Mordechai asked him, what are you sighing? Haman says, look how far I've fallen. A person who was more important to the king than all of his ministers, me, Hashta Lashavia Baloni Vasaper, now I'm reduced to being a bathhouse attendant and a barber. So Mordechai answers him back, Russia, Lav Saper B'Kfar Kautzim Ha'isa, weren't you previously a barber in Kfar Kautzim? And in fact, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, yes, Haman Saper Shekfar Kautzim Habachot Beis Shana. Yeah, he actually worked as a barber in Kfar Kautzim for 22 years, so he had plenty of experience. Okay. Boso da Ashkele Lamazia, after he cut Mordechai's hair, Al-Bashay, then he dressed him in the royal robes. Omalei tells him, Solik Rochib, okay, now climb up onto the horse. So Mordechai says, I can't. I'm weak from fasting. Gochimloi, well, Haman had no choice. You have to do what the king wants. So he bent down onto the ground, and Mordechai climbed up onto him. And as he's climbing up onto the horse, he gave Haman a kick. So Haman says, doesn't the pasuk say when your enemy has fallen, you shouldn't rejoice? And here you're not only you're taking the maximum advantage of me, and you're even kicking me, and you're Russia. That applies when you have a yid who's your enemy for one reason or another. When it comes to your type, see, the pasuk says, you will step on their high places, and I'm being mekayim with you by stepping on your body and stepping on your neck.
I like the fact that he gave it to him straight up.
Yeah. In fact, In fact, Marsha points out you have a couple of things over here. That same pasuk, va'ata abam esem esidrach, the first half of that pasuk, that earlier in that pasuk, it says v'yikochashu oyevecha loch. So literally, it means like your enemies will deny to you, like they'll deny ever having been enemies. But Marsha explains we can also darshan v'yikochashu maloshin kachash as in weakness. Because you're going to be weak from your tainus, therefore your enemies are going to have to do this kind of thing. They're going to have to bend themselves down. Marsha also adds that the Medrash says that Mordechai was saying in the capital, Mizmer Shulchan Nokas Bayis Ledovid, Arimimcha Hashem Kiduli Sani, that I praise you, Hashem, that you lifted me up high. V'loi Simachta Oyvai Li, you haven't made my enemy happy over me. Here Homan was thinking he's going to get to do this to Mordechai, and here it gets reversed. So Mordechai was saying this capital to thank Hashem for this reversal, even though he didn't know that Zayda's not Boto yet, Homan's still alive, etc. But what? Well, I mean, it's getting uncomfortably close to my ribs, so yeah. We should have Rahman or some people who were not fasting for 3 days, but still, you know. Okay. Yoimim Mashiach Ugo'olo, Yud Gimel Adabez. Tainus Esther is different than other fast days. It's a special day of its own. You have the four fasts that have to do with the Churban, with all the events before and during and after the Churban. And therefore, what does it mean? That the fast is turned into a Yom Ratzin means the building of the Beis Mikdash by Gaula Asid. Tainus Esther, on the other hand, is an event of its own, which has nothing directly to do with the Beis Mikdash. But now that we are on a day when you have the Golu, the concept of Tainus Esther, then Adraba, you have an advantage today relative to other fast days. You have this Galus Rotzen Elyon Baruch Hu, and the Yom Rotzen Hashem on Tainus Esther is such a high thing that relative, when you look at it from that point of view, there is no difference between a Golus and a Geula at the level of the Rotzen Elyon that's revealed on Tainus Esther. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos. So we started talking about yesterday about the halachas of washing dishes on Shabbos. So you can't use a cloth or a sponge or whatnot because the issur schita. So you have to use a rag that's designated for that, or you have certain kinds of Shabbos sponges you have nowadays, the kind of thing where you wouldn't squeeze it out even on a weekday, or the kind of thing that doesn't really absorb water. So at Bechlal, you're only allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos, only the ones that you actually need for Shabbos. With that said, I think there are halachas about that. For example, if you have the dishes are piling up and it looks unattractive in the kitchen, then I think there may be a certain heter for that, but I'm not quite sure about that. All right.